There's one other thing I wanted to talk about before we get into the latest on the war. And this is really important. Now, if you follow me on Twitter, you already saw my tweet about this, but it made me think a lot because I feel like I cover a lot of things on the show and we pick up on a lot of different threads here and there, but this is something that's really extremely important to follow up on. So this weekend, I saw a tweet from Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire. And as you know, Matt Walsh works for Ben Shapiro. He's a Shabbos goy. He flips the lights on and off. He's a race traitor. He's betraying his religion to work for one of the worst Jewish supremacists on the entire planet. And Matt Walsh seems to be having some sort of epiphany lately. He's realizing that, you know, maybe a war in Iran is not in America's interest. And, you know, maybe that's a problem for us. So he puts out this tweet over the weekend, a long tweet, long paragraph. I'm not going to read it to you. But he basically says, this war in Iran is a bad idea. And let the record show that ever since the war started, I said it would be a bad idea. And this is a catastrophe. There's no exit plan. It's causing economic damage and it's not in our interest and so on and so forth. And a lot of people are congratulating him for this discovery, for this take. But you want to know something about that and Matt Walsh? I want you to take a little trip down memory lane. Because unlike a lot of other people, if you watch my show, you know this about me, and maybe you're the same way. We don't have collective amnesia. We do not have brain rot here. We remember what people said and what people did last week and last month and last year. And 2 years ago. And I'm old enough to remember, and I have enough of a recall to remember that Matt Walsh went on Tucker Carlson's show last year. And do you know what he said about the Middle East? His take on the Middle East a year ago is that if you are extremely pro-Israel and if you are extremely anti-Israel, that both sides of that conversation are not putting America first. He said the real America first position is to be indifferent to the developments in the Middle East, indifferent to Palestine, indifferent to Iran, indifferent to Lebanon and Yemen. He said the real America first position is to fixate on what happens in America and school board meetings and the economy and Disney Plus and transgender athletes competing in girls sports and all that. He said he really did the both sides thing. If you're obsessed with the Middle East as anti-Israel or pro-Israel, those are two sides of the same coin and they're both wrong. Well, you know what? And I said this on Twitter in reply to his epiphany that this war in Iran is bad. We have been marching toward a war in Iran for 2.5 years. And even longer than that, we have been marching toward a war in Iran really since like 2003, if you want to know the truth. And it really accelerated in 2018 when Trump pulled us out of the Iran nuclear deal. And then after October 7th, it was a fait accompli. It was inevitable. And there were some people that had been putting up the flare about this for a long time and warning people, pay attention to the Middle East. And what's more, pay attention to what is happening domestically. Because there is a dual track here. At once, you have very troubling developments in the Middle East. Clearly, Israel has undertaken since October 7th this ambitious expansionist project to steamroll Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, the other Shiite militias, and then to decapitate Iran. That is obvious to anyone who is paying attention that that is the plan, was the plan, has always been the plan. And the other part of it is that simultaneously in America, the Jews have been ascending in politics, on the Republican side in particular, taking critical national security roles, infiltrating the MAGA movement, Mar-a-Lago, the Republican Party, because they believe that the Trump administration, that a Trump presidency will facilitate all of this. They will deliver Israel's agenda using the U.S. military. And like I said, for years, people have been pointing this out, like myself, like yours truly, and many other people. And all along the way, every step of the way, every step on this pathway towards the war in Iran, we've had people like Matt Walsh telling us, you are obsessed with the Middle East. You are obsessed with Israel. That's overblown. You have gone so anti-Israel that you are now America last because your fixation is on that region. I'm the real America first because I'm indifferent to all that stuff over there. In a word, every step of the way, they have tried to distract us. They have tried to obstruct us, gaslight us. They have told us to bury our head in the sand as all of these developments have been happening. And this has been a long time coming. After October 7th, we gave Israel $26 billion to prosecute their war in Gaza. After October 7th, we intervened in Yemen in a full-fledged air and sea campaign against the Houthi rebels. We bombed Iran last year, and everybody told us it's not a big deal. It's not a real war. We just carried out one strike, and then that was it, and now it's over. Now here we are. Now here we are in a regime change war in Iran. It's going to cost us $200 billion. There might be a ground operation next week. And now they tell us, I don't think this war is a good idea. Oh, really? You don't say. Well, where were you every other step that led up to this? Oh, yeah, you were telling us to look the other way and stop paying attention. You were minimizing the issue and downplaying it. And the reason that I say this, make a note. The reason I'm saying this is not to toot my own horn and say, you were wrong, I was right. Because people might say, well, who really cares? As long as we all wound up in the same place, what difference really does it make who was wrong and who was right? The reason I say this is because that was a very particular point of view and still is that is being promulgated. And I would say this is the indifferentist opinion, which is that Israel is not really that big of a problem. It's not really that big of an issue. It's really more of a distraction. People look at it as an inconvenience. They say, well, this Israel thing happens to be blowing up the MAGA coalition. Isn't that unfortunate? Israel may have pressured us into the war. Gee, maybe that was a mistake. But obviously, they and their lobby have played a central influence. They're obviously the driving force. They've orchestrated all of this, which has led to all of these outcomes. The fiscal cost of the war, the Americans dead in the war, the catastrophic ramifications for the global economy and our allies and credibility and deterrence in the world, the explosion of the MAGA movement, the division in our camp. They have played a central role. They have orchestrated all of it. And here's the point. You can't be America first unless you are pushing in the opposite direction, forcefully and explicitly every day. That's the point. It's not one issue among others. Clearly, this is a huge problem. If the Iran war is destroying the MAGA movement, if the Iran war is blowing up the dissident right nationalist movement, if it's forcing America to fight another regime change war in Iran, then there is no way to get to America first without confronting Israel. You understand? You can't sidestep it. You can't avoid it. You can't go over it, around it, underneath it. The only way to get to America first is through Israel first. It has to be confronted. It has to be destroyed. That's it. That's the only way. It's Mark Levin, Laura Loomer, Randy Fine, Jared Kushner. It's Fox News. It's The Blaze. It's people like Josh Hammer. These people are standing in the way, directly obstructing our goals. They have to lose. They have to be defeated. And the only way they can be defeated is if they are decisively confronted. We have to call them out. We have to expose them for what they are. We have to make the argument, not with dog whistles, not incrementally, explicitly, all the time, every day, until we win. That's it. And I don't know how anybody can take a guy like Matt Walsh seriously. He goes on the show and says Americans are dying in Iran, $200 billion in Iran. It's exploding our movement, dividing our movement. And he goes to work every day for Ben Shapiro, who is practically the chief propagandist promoting the war. He, along with Mark Levin and all the others, how can you entertain this contradiction? How do you not see that? And then you realize, of course, Matt Walsh, he does see it. He's not a dumb guy. He knows what Ben Shapiro is. He sees it. And he sees our comments and he sees our replies. And he chooses selectively not to engage. And so in a way, you have to understand that the people that are like Matt Walsh, they're actually our biggest enemy in a way. They might actually be the biggest impediment. And you want to know why that is? Because if everybody is watching the Ben Shapiro show, they see a short, ugly Jew with a big yarmulke commanding us to die for Israel. And it is plain for everyone to see. It is unambiguous. They see a short, ugly Jew with a big hat, a hateful, odious, disgusting person. Could not be more obvious whose side he's on, what country he has allegiance to. It would be naked and transparent what is going on there. And equally, people watch my show, and they may think I'm an anti-Semite, and they may think I'm anti-Israel, and I say let them think that. But at the end of the day, they see someone that is promoting America first, claiming America first, born in America, loving America only, against the Israel lobby. And if that were the dialectic, it would be pretty clear which side 90% of conservatives would take. If that was the dialectic, if that was the argument, Shapiro, foam finger, flag waving, yarmulke wearing, Israel firster versus America first, you know 99% of Americans take my side every day of the week. But then you introduce somebody like Matt Walsh. And somebody like Matt Walsh is going to beat his chest every day about how he's proud to be white. And he's going to air his grievances about brown and black people and immigrants and wokeness and transgenders in the media and in sports and so on. And he's going to take a position on Israel that's not actually all that definitive. Well, I just don't really care that much. Well, I'm just, unlike Nick Fuentes and Ben Shapiro, I'm not obsessed with it. I'm indifferent. Now, once you introduce a guy like that, it muddies the waters a little bit. Because then there's a lot of people who are going to say, you know, I don't like Shapiro, but maybe Nick Fuentes is too extreme. I guess I'm like Matt Walsh. I guess I just don't really care that much about the issue. I guess I just don't understand why everybody cares so much about Palestine for some reason. Why everybody cares so much about Iran for some reason. Aren't they Muslims? How's that any better? And all of a sudden, now you've split the difference. And now maybe you got 50% that go Matt Walsh and 30% that go Shapiro and 30% or 20% that go my way. You see? For 2 years, we've been marching towards a war with Iran. People have been trying to warn you. I have been trying to warn you every single day, saying, look at how all of this is progressing. Look at the developments in the Middle East that are leading to this. It's not just, why do I care about Palestine? Because Israel is using that as a pretext. It is also the long-term goal as well. They're using that to roll October 7th into a justification for a war in Lebanon and a war in Iran, which has now become a regional conflict. And that was always the point. And I spelled that out from day one. The war in Gaza will eventually become a full-on war with Iran, and it can't be done without us. And all along the way, every step, they told us, just don't think about that. Don't look over there. Look over here. Look at Disney Plus. Look at the transgender soccer league or whatever. Oh, those people like Sneeko and Fuentes and the rest of them, they're third worldists. Oh, they just care about Palestine. They're left wing spiritually. They lost the plot. And that's why for 2 years, conservatives buried their head in the sand. And that's why they're all so surprised. And they say, well, I thought the war was a bad idea. What, a few weeks ago? We've been headed here for years. And by the way, if the end result of Matt Walsh and the conservative movement is to get you to look away for just long enough for them to achieve what they want, that's all they need. Don't you understand that? Some people say, well, this war has woken people up now. Yeah, well, it's a little late. We're 5 weeks in now. This is week number 5. And look at the price of oil and look at what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz. There is one way out of this in the long term, and that is regime change. That's the only way out of this. You think we're getting a deal? You think Iran is giving the Strait of Hormuz back? How exactly is that going to work? We're already through the looking glass. We are on the other side. Oh, now you think it's a bad idea. After we killed the Ayatollah, after we bombed them 13,000 times, after they seized the Strait of Hormuz and crashed the global economy, now you realize what happened? It's too late. It's too late now. Now people say, how can we turn it around? What can we do? We should protest. We should call the White House. Call the White House. What are you going to tell the White House that will change a reality on the ground in the Middle East or in the markets? There's nothing you can say, nothing you can post on Twitter, nothing you can tell the president that he doesn't know. There's nothing that can be done. It's too late. They didn't need to pull the wool over your eyes forever. They just needed you to look the other way for long enough for them to make their move. And they did. Netanyahu went to the White House or the United States 5 times, 6 times last year, and then came back another time this year. And every time he came here, he was pushing for a war with Iran. And Trump's entire national security team was pushing for a war with Iran. And Trump's donors in the 2024 election were pushing for a war with Iran. They were pushing for it in the first term. But that entire time, people said, pay no attention to the Jewish Zionists behind the curtain. Because mass deportations are the only thing that matter, right? Immigration's the only issue that matters. Nothing else matters. Really? Epstein doesn't matter. Iran doesn't matter. The economy doesn't matter. Well, try that in the midterm elections. You tell all the voters in the midterms, but immigration is the only issue that matters. Good luck. Good luck with that. When oil's $200 a barrel, when gas is $5 a gallon, when mortgage rates are back over 6%, good luck telling those voters, hey, but immigration's the only thing that matters. And if you disagree, you're a brown-coated, spiritually leftist third worldist. Tried to warn you. Now, here's what we can do going forward, okay? Everybody that knows the score needs to start explicitly and forcefully opposing Israel first every single day. That's all you can do now. If you don't see it now, you're never going to see it. And if you don't start opposing it now, there's no excuses for you anymore. Regime change, war with Iran, 10 years into the Trump movement, we were just about to exit Syria and Iraq. Now we're bombing Iraq. Did you know that? Now we're bombing the majority Shiite Iraq, their popular mobilization forces, obvious outcome from all of this. We were just about to leave. Isn't that what the whole Trump movement was about? In 2015, extricating from Iraq, and now we're in a... Okay, I think we're back. Whoops. Okay, we have a thunderstorm going on here, so... There was like a power surge for a second. That's why. Don't worry, we didn't get zogged. Everybody was saying, people were saying it was a Mossad attack. No, no, it's just weather, inclement weather over here. We're good. Anyway, well, it's going to be hard for me to pick back up where I left off. I was kind of dialed in there. I was tapped in, but that's okay. Well, we're back. So anyway, so that is what is happening with Matt Walsh. I guess where I left off is I was saying, the only way forward is that people that know what is going on have to decisively confront Israel first. And thank God that Tucker is doing that, and Megyn Kelly and Piers Morgan and others. I wish Candace Owens would focus more on that as opposed to, you know, like the other stuff. The lizard people, that whole thing, the time travel, astral projecting and so on. But that is the only way forward. If you want to get to America first, you have to recognize this is not an issue that you can sidestep. This is the issue. This is the impediment to America first. You are either on one side or the other. You are either America first or you are Israel first. There is no other position where you say, I just don't want to send foreign aid to any country. That is no longer acceptable. It never was. That is not adequate. It is no longer acceptable to say, I don't understand why anybody's obsessed with Israel. Because here is why. You want to know why they are obsessed with Israel? Because they are Jewish. And that is the only country they care about. They are loyal to world Jewry. They're loyal to the state of Israel. And as long as these people have any influence, they are going to use our country for their own ends. That is what is going on in American politics. Radical left-wing Jews want to turn America into a diverse brown shithole because that is what promotes their agenda. A rising tide of tolerance and equality lifts all of the boats for every ethnic and racial minority, even the smallest one, which is the Jews. And the conservative right-wing Zionist Jews, for them, it is Jewish nationalism. I'm a nationalist. I'm an American nationalist. The right-wing Jews are Jewish nationalists. They are promoting a strong Jewish identity, a strong Jewish state, a muscular Jewish state. And as long as these people are around, they're going to put their interests ahead of ours. And as long as they are doing that and succeeding, we have to counter them. That is a hostile occupation. If you're America first, your sole and overriding objective is liberation. We want to free America from the hostile occupation. We want to liberate America from these people. That doesn't make us Israel obsessed. It makes us America obsessed. If they are the occupiers, if they are the occupation regime, then our first priority is to liberate ourselves. That doesn't make us two sides of the same coin. Well, there's the people occupying our country, stealing our sovereignty, usurping our independence. And then there's those people that are obsessed with undoing that. Then there are those spiritual leftist nut jobs that are obsessed with throwing all of that off. I'm over here in the middle where I shrug my shoulders. Ben Shapiro runs America. Well, maybe we shouldn't send him foreign aid. Shouldn't send them foreign aid. We need sovereignty. So as far as I'm concerned, this is a line in the sand moment. If you didn't get it before, I don't understand how you didn't. But now there's no excuse. If you're one of those few people that's still out there trusting the plan, five-dimensional chess, it's about China. Trump always campaigned on bombing Iran. This is your opportunity to get off. This is your opportunity to get off at this stop and join America first. If you want to salvage what we have, if you want to salvage our country, if you want to salvage an American nationalist movement from the wreckage of MAGA, now is the time to say unequivocally, You're either America first or Israel first. We knew this when the Tucker cost happened. We know it now. So that's that. Matt Walsh says, I've been against the war since the beginning. No, you haven't. The war has been going on for years. And your job was to obfuscate it for your Jewish boss. Whether you knew it, didn't know it, intentional, unintentional, that was the effect. And that is what matters. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So if in the end your effect was to get everybody to look the other way, we just have to hold our nose and vote for Trump because immigration's the most important thing. To those people, I say, fuck you. You brought us here. Because that was literally the message. Don't pay attention to anything else. Don't pay attention to Jared Kushner behind the curtain. Immigration, immigration, racial pride, immigration, that's it. They are literally dangling that in front of your face on a fishing rod. Immigration, we just got to keep voting Republican because of immigration. We just got to keep voting Republican because of immigration. And when has a Republican ever done anything about immigration? When? Did Reagan fix it? No. Did Bush? No. Trump 1? No. Trump 2? No. So let's just stop. Let's just get over that. And I'm going to say one other thing. This is a bit controversial. Bear with me. This country is 57% non-Hispanic white, okay? And the next generation, ever since 2012, the newborns have been 50% white. What exactly do you think Trump is going to do to undo any of that? Our country is fucked because of immigration. But you know what that is? It's the past tense. It was fucked, and now it is. It happened in the past, and that's the way it is. And I don't like it, and I know you don't like it. And if we could wave a magic wand and go back to the way things used to be, we would probably all do that. But we can't. And it's not going to happen, at least not anytime soon. It's not going to happen in the next 4 years. So when all these people told us we have to vote for Trump because of immigration, what exactly did you think was going to happen? Did you really think that in the next 4 years, America was meaningfully going to become less diverse? Serious question. Did you think that after 4 years, after just 4 years, America would be visibly, noticeably, meaningfully less diverse? And if so, where was that happening and how was that going to happen? Did you think that Los Angeles was no longer going to be 20% white? Did you think Chicago was no longer going to be 30% white? That New York was going to no longer be 20% white? Where was this going to happen and how was it going to happen? It was never going to happen. At best, you would see a partial reduction in the rate of immigration, and that was all you were ever going to get. And that is all that we have. Trump has reduced legal immigration by a whopping 10%, but they're not deporting 10 million people. You'll be lucky if they remove a million. And they've shut down illegal immigration. Well, you know what? That's a little bit too late. That's about 20 years too late on shutting down the border. We wanted the border shut down in 2016. And in the meantime, there's been about 15 million more illegals that have come here. So if you're not deporting anybody and you're not restricting legal immigration severely, then who gives a shit if they close the border, honestly? And people say, well, so what? So we should vote for the Democrats to make it worse? It means let's stop jingling keys in front of our face about immigration like it makes a fucking difference, because it doesn't. And people need to hear that. You're not going to like to hear that, but you need to hear that. And take it from somebody that marched to Charlottesville. Take it from somebody that was part of the OG white nationalist movement. That's just the way it is. Seriously, people say immigration, as if it will change a thing. 35 years of unrelenting, always increasing mass migration, and they think 4 years, a 10% reduction in legal immigration is gonna change anything, that it's even gonna make a difference, that it would even be noticeable? Don't kid yourself. They say, well, any little bit counts. Well, maybe in a vacuum, but not if the price we have to pay is a war in Iran, an AI regulation moratorium, the Epstein files being covered up, and destroying the Trump anti-immigration movement. You know, that's not worth the price of admission. People say any little bit counts. You know what? It really doesn't. It really does not, actually. Oh, you know, you get nothing for almost. I hear that from the other side. Everybody that, because it always goes together, it's always this package deal. They say these guys are obsessed with Israel and the third world. Immigration's the thing we got to buckle down and focus on. And what are we hoping to achieve there? I mean, honestly. We are closer to establishing a lunar colony than we are to even having a majority white nation ever again. I mean, come on. Syria. And doesn't mean give up on that. It doesn't mean I'm not in favor of white identity politics, but we got to start being a little bit more practical here. But people don't want to hear that. That's realistic. That's the truth. And you can listen to a Shabbos Goy beat his chest all day long about white pride and we don't want these brown people living here. It doesn't make a lick of a difference because they're running and they're hiding. The places where we can even live are getting smaller and shittier all the time. And 4 years of King Shabbos Goy, 4 years of best Goy, it's not going to change a thing about that. So get real. Get real. Don't be a sucker. Don't get tricked. Immigration. Give me a break. Stephen Miller's autistically focused on mass deportations. I think he's autistically focused on Israel. I think him and his wife, who goes on Piers Morgan and says, I have Jewish children. I think they're obsessed with Israel, actually. Yeah, I think they're just like the rest of them. I know. Shocking, right? I know, it's such a surprise. I thought he was one of the good ones. These people that, you know. Anyway, we're going to move on. We're going to get into the war, but that's just a word on where the movement is. Because, like I said, if all of that has brought us here, of what use was the movement? If the movement has brought us to this point, of what use was the movement? As far as immigration is concerned, we have nothing. As far as Israel is concerned, they have everything. So of what use was your movement that people are trying to say, yeah, but we're just, you know, Trump really wants to do it and we just want it to happen. Well, all of that in a dollar will no longer be able to buy you a cup of coffee. Because coffee is now $10 a cup. It's worth nothing.